We're going to dive into a couple of topics today that we didn't think we were going to be bringing this up. We, meaning me, when I talked to Judy about this, you know, the Titus 2 gals get all the information, all the things you guys are listening to and all of that stuff. It all gets kind of filtered and it sort of lands there. So what has risen to the surface that I think is important enough to mention to you is a trend right now that I think is very deceitful because like we talked about a couple of sessions ago when we were in the toddler stage, and that is just expressing the issue that Satan just sends us whoppers, you know, just whoppers. And what is on the front right now is a masquerade for verbiage over parenting styles. So I want to make it that simple to you so that you understand that, oh, okay, so there's different parenting styles that are being thrown out. And there, it's almost like a popularity contest. And the only reason why I say that is because to me, it's just a rinse and repeat of the 60s moving into the 70s where people could challenge authority and do something different and then call it good. Which to me, I look at that and I say, well, in the Bible with the children of Israel, what did they do? Each man did what was right in his own eyes. Right? So they defined good and evil. And God told them time and time again exactly the way he wanted them to go. But the parenting verbiage today that seems to be pretty popular, it's called gentle parenting. So when you look into gentle parenting, gentle is a word we want in our life. I want to be gentle. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. Okay? No one's knocking that. But the rewriting of the word is basically, it's the most permissive style, absolute opponent of any kind of morality, teaching morality. It, in my mind, I would want to pass on to you, please filter through some of this stuff with the filter of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to literally guard you and guide you as you come across these things, because you will. Even if you're not actively pursuing articles about gentle parenting, it's gonna hit you in the face. You're gonna be at the park, somebody's, you know, kid is gonna do something, child is going to do something, and you're going to be up against their parenting style if this child, let's just say, pushes your child, and your child cracks his or her skull, right? Knocks against the cement. You know, if that was your child and your child did that to another child, you would have a boundary. You know, because we don't do permissive parenting. We don't do gentle parenting. That's not the parenting style that we know is gonna work, right? And maybe it's because we live in Portland and we know, oh my goodness, obviously a lot of people grew up with the gentle parenting model and it's not actually working. We don't like graffiti. Quit burning our buildings. That kind of thing. But the parents, if they're like, no, kids are gonna be kids, you know, boys are gonna be boys. No. So tonight we're gonna reel that in. We're in that age category where it's very important for you to have a clear, bright line, clear definition of what it is you should be looking for. And I wanna tell you by saying what you should not be seeking after is the world's popularity advice for parenting, because you have to be so discerning and very careful. And we're charged to have responsibility over our kids. And one thing with this model of gentle parenting, loosey-goosey parenting, is that it teaches no personal responsibility. And that's just such a bummer, because you're really setting your kids up for the biggest downfall of all time when they don't get hired, they don't understand why they're not doing good, why are they not performing well, why did they not get the next promotion, why me? It creates a real victim mentality. And then there's the other issue too, where it can go into restorative justice and all of that. Like, people are really embracing it, and the church has to be very cautious of that, because when you start talking about restorative justice and you're not looking at the word of God for that, which is Jesus is the restorer of all justice, then you're just gonna be wonky and your family's gonna feel really off balance. So I just wanna guard you with that. And don't come and talk to the Titus 2 ladies about that. Okay? Just don't waste your time. No, just kidding. Talk to them about whatever you want. But if you get redirected, just understand that's the root of it, right? If it's not biblically sound, you're certainly not going to get encouragement to continue to go in that direction. So something this weekend, I don't know if you guys noticed, online when or in person when Pastor Brett shared a scripture. It was Matthew 24:12. And it stuck out to me like it was bold, italicized, and underlined. And I thought, wow, this is so interesting. I know that he is talking about something totally different. But for me, this is all going back to mom time. So that's my obsession for you guys. I want you to do so well. Well, the scripture is in Matthew, like I said, 24, verse 12. And I'm going to read to you a few versions of it. Okay, so the New International of this scripture says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The New Living says, sin will be rampant everywhere and the love of many will grow cold. The English Standard Version says, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. The King James Bible says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And then the New King James says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And the New American Standard says, and because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will become cold. And then the Amplified Bible says, because lawlessness is increased, the love of most people will grow cold. The Christian Standard Bible says, because lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold. And on the different scriptures go with the translations. That just gives you an idea. Basically, it's saying, oh my goodness, if you want love to grow cold, then increase wickedness. So as I was looking at that scripture, because it was one that Brett had up on the screen, I thought, now I wonder as parents if that would be really good for us to think about actually the inverse of that. So what is the inverse of that? So I did a little looking up to see, to make sure I had my grammar right. So I looked up inverse, and inverse says reversed in order, nature, or effect of or relating to an inverse or an inverse function turns upside down or inverted. And I think I remember that from math. I remember it from grammar, but it's way back there and there's some dust on there. So I had to look it up. And these are all things you guys can look up. So it's I'm not making slides for mom time because I don't want it to be labor intensive for you or my team or anything like that. I just want you to listen and just look up the word later. It's fine. Just look it up. I thought of this a week ago and I looked it up this morning. No big deal. The Lord will remind you of what it is you need to look up. So don't put stress on yourself. But in terms of that inverse thing, I asked Judy and I asked Brett too, goodness, if we want wickedness to increase, that's gonna make your love stop. Like if you increase the wickedness, your love is gonna go down. So if you flip it around, what about if you increase moral behavior? If you increase, what if you do the opposite? What if you actually become more lawful? And what? So that's parenting, right? That is what you're doing. So when I ran it through the sieve, I call it the sieve when I talk to Brett, because he'll, you know, take out all the weeds and stuff. So there were no weeds. It was good. It passed the test. The truth is, and studies show this, but the truth is when you give your kids boundaries. So forget about the crazy gentle parenting, whatever. Just be parents, just be moms, give your kids clear direction. And really you're reflecting more of God's character because he made it perfectly clear all through the Old Testament. God said, if then, if you do this, then this. And he made good on his promises. And you should have the freedom to do that very same thing. So what's so cool about reversing that whole action is that if you increase your boundaries, this is last week, we talked a little bit about this, but sometimes you'll be praying and asking God, like with my 4-year-old or 8-year-old or the three of them are not interacting, whoever, are there things that I should change? And don't be surprised if the Lord says, I want you to tighten up the screws a little bit on that because it's a little loosey-goosey, it's a little rickety. That is the sweetness of God. Go with that. Go with that. Because see, if you just want direction on how not to go, just look at the end times. Study that, do that. That'll be the opposite of what you should be doing. Don't do the end times behavior. Don't do that. Don't have wickedness in your house. You should be the wicked police in your house, okay? If it's wicked, it's out. And don't feel bad about that. Be totally free with that. Because what happens is when wickedness increases, the love of many will grow cold. And that's just a bummer because your home doesn't have to be that way, you know? And we know that we live in a world that has a different set of priorities than what we have, but that's okay. your house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You get to do that. And so just increase in any area that you think needs to be tightened up. Just ask the Lord. He'll show you. Write it down if you need to. And just take notes on that. And then talk to your husband about that. And if you're single, run it past the counseling team or the pastoral staff. And get the thumbprint on there that it's okay. And then move forward in total victory in that way. Because it is the Holy Spirit that's going to guide you and lead you into all truth. Okay? Gentle parenting, from what I can read, and it's a definition of terms, it's very frustrating to me because in the end, what parents are doing is exactly what the book of Romans talks about, where it just lays out humanity and slaps us, just kicks us over because we are all guilty. And there is no excuse. We're without excuse. Gentle parenting is all about excuse. It's extremely contrary to the word of God to think that your child is fine and is okay and everything your child does is good. No, you're being lied to. No. So you want to cut through the truth and understand that in a very gentle way, the Lord sets about showing us symbolically through the children of Israel, and then even today in our day-to-day lives, and then the body of Christ that we've been grafted in. God's so kind that we've been grafted in to his tree. It's his tree though, okay? It's God's tree. People don't get to decide. God gets to decide. So be in his word, read his word, and when he gives you an action, act upon that. And just let all the other stuff go away. So watch, because I think he's so amazing that he will surpass your expectations of what will happen in your family. So one thing I was going to show you guys was this particular word. And I know that you're all getting spoiled with people using Keynote, but I'm not. So you're just gonna have to write this down. If you guys don't have the Blue Letter Bible app, you should download that app. Because what you can do is any scripture that you come across, you can click on a word and then it will send you over to a whole outline. There used to be a book this thick that Brett had called the Strong's Concordance, and it has every word in the whole Bible is a numerical system. So the Strong's definition is based off of the Greek, and you can see all of this in the app. It's pretty amazing though that you don't have to spend hours looking up a word. You literally can click. So today I looked up the word for the love of many will grow because of sin, the word for iniquity and sin. And I looked that up, and that was kind of interesting because it's a condition without law because of ignorance in it. So I just find that so amazing, because what does Proverbs say over and over? Talk to your children, pass on wisdom, remind your children. Here we have the Bible's definition of wickedness, which causes love to grow cold, which we don't want. It's a violation of actually passing on information, really to your kids. That's the direct application, because parents are the ones who are responsible, right? I just find that so amazing. And then it even goes on to describe wickedness as being, and this is just the world that we live in. You see it any time you want, any news station you want, contempt and violation of the law, iniquity and wickedness. I mean, it is the word. So that's just really interesting to me. And then the next word about growing cold, I looked up that word too. And I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. The word literally, we would say psycho. For the word cold, it's spelled like psycho. In the Greek, you say psycho, but it looks like psycho. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Well, okay, that's amazing, because the world is psycho right now. How many times have we said that? The world actually is psycho. So if you say the world is psycho, now you can pat yourself on the back because you're saying it in Greek. The world is growing cold with its love. I mean, it is psycho. So for you to just have a clear definition, if you feel like things are psycho in your home, right, then we need to go back to what the original, let's turn on the law, turn on the boundaries, get the definition of terms straight in your family, get together with your husband and figure out what the plan is, have your little happy chat, okay, and away you go. You will have so much more order in your home. I just want to pass that onto you. Do not believe the lies that are out there telling you all the things you cannot do or all the comparisons that you're gonna do. Those are endless. They're endless, the comparisons. We will never, ever measure up. Forget it. Just acknowledge it. Just go, whatever. So I'm 9,000, 50 million, zillionth on the list. Who cares? Not to God. Remember who you are with God. Your identity with God is solid. He looks at you and he sees you because God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. So you can have your one-on-one with Jesus, your number one to Jesus. Each one of us are. He's all-knowing. He knows the past, present, and future about you and your kids and your family after that. He already knows. So live in that knowledge and forget about all the other stuff because it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter at all. I just thought that was so cool that it literally means psycho. Now, the next scripture after that in 24:13, what does Jesus say? He says, in 24:13, he says, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. So standing firm, right? You're given permission by Jesus to stand firm. Some people read that scripture and they think, oh no, we're saved by standing firm. And that is something that I wanted to bring up tonight is that word saved. So I think it was last week or maybe the week before that I referred to the word sozo. So the way you spell this is S-O-Z-O, sozo. And you've probably seen it in teachings in the past, but it is a word that you should get to know because often when you see the word saved, it's attached to this word. It's what it means in the Greek for salvation. But it's not just to be saved from hell. Okay, let me just read to you again from that Strong's Concordance, a couple things that it means. It means to save. So think about this with you being a mom, okay? You're standing firm, okay? You will be saved. What does that mean? To be saved, to keep safe, to keep sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. Aren't those all good things that we want for our family? Aren't those all good things we want for us? It says to save a suffering one from disease, to make well, to heal, restore to health. To save in the technical biblical sense. To save from the evils which obstruct the reception of messianic deliverance. It goes on. It's a pretty extensive word. But it doesn't just mean saved from hell. This is an ongoing relationship that you currently have with Christ. And that's what you want to reflect and reiterate to your children. That's what you want to reflect. See, we don't want to make boundaries and rules just for the sake of rules because that's kind of silly. That becomes extreme authoritarianism. It's one of the reasons why gentle parenting is a thing. It's because there was such a rigidity to decades of kids being raised. I mean, my grandfather, it's a known fact, he was chased around the room with a belt and then sent into another room with a nanny because all the moms died. It was pretty dramatic. In the early 1900s, a lot of women died during childbirth and he had a lot of that. I think there were five wives or something that his father was married to. He was an afterthought in terms of attention and care, okay? And it explains a lot in terms of how his demeanor was so rough and coarse with people because he was really treated that way too. So I understand the thought process between the person of saying, wow, authoritarianism and gentle parenting, I'm gonna choose gentle parenting. Yes, of course, but not to the point of psycho. Not to the point of psycho. It's literally in God's word. Be free in that. Because yes, we want to demonstrate kindness and patience, but not to the point of psycho, okay? So now I feel like we all have our own catchphrase now for mom time, right? Maybe it's hashtag don't be psycho, right? Maybe that's what it is, don't be psycho. And maybe that's our little code name for time to get it on with the boundaries. Maybe we being a little psycho today, huh? Maybe that's our little, catchphrase. I don't know, you guys figure that out, but I find that funny that it is literally psycho. Anyway, just wanted to encourage you with that, with the word sozo, because It's a beautiful word, and God wants us all to experience that wholeness and healing and to have that freedom and to actually feel safe from danger. You know, like those are huge things. So I think when I'm sharing that with you, and then we conversely think about a couple weeks back where I did the demonstration of the spanking and whatnot, I don't think there's confusion on that. I think you know that it's very well thought out. It's nothing that goes off into the emotional frustration category at all, It's very, very black and white. At the age where you guys have your kids are old enough now for you to definitely let them understand that they're actually choosing the consequence, okay? That you have a clear outline of expected behavior. And again, for a guideline on that, go to the Ten Commandments and then shoot off your own, you know, list from that, you know. Another reason, this is a little bunny trail, but gentle parenting, I feel, is not healthy for you as a mom, because in the book of Romans, I think I'm not bunny trailing, I'm actually just going around the cul-de-sac to where I was at before. But really, you know, in the book of Romans, it talks about how creation worshiped, the people worshiped creation over the creator, okay? And I think we all have to be very careful to not do that with our kids. Because yes, they are a creation of God, but they're not the creator. And my goodness, do we see parents all the time who fall into that trap? You fall so in love with your baby, which is good and right and good. But if you do not in your mind, again, going back to weeks one and two, if you don't in your mind set yourself up for that inward discipline that you're gonna need, you very likely can fall into the category of really and truly justifying all behavior of your kids in the name of being gentle. And it's actually just doing a huge disservice to your kids. So I just want you to guard against that. So with that, I'm gonna segue into a question that came last week, and it has to do with, and I say this because, I bring this up because it's pretty common for women to have a discrepancy between their husband and themselves in terms of parenting style, personality, and what that looks like. So if the question is, hey, what do I do about my husband who disciplines in a moment of frustration? So that's basically, that's the question. And he's angry when he's doing it. So I immediately am gonna tell you, okay, hold the phone. We don't do anything in anger, okay? He's not my husband. Stop it. That's what I'll say to that man. Stop it. I will say that if you cannot say that because you're submitting to him. I am not submitting to him. Stop it, okay? But he is your husband, and I understand that there's a giant amount of inward pressure, probably too much, that you're putting on yourself to not actually address this with your husband, because you really should be able to have a time when you can have your adult version of a happy chat. So what we would do in this case is you make sure that your husband, being a normal human being who needs to have his blood sugar leveled, feed him, okay? He's fed and watered, okay? You pick a time, and you might need to say, hey, is there a time this week? I know your schedule's busy. I know you're doing, you know, two back-to-back shifts or whatever it is. Show respect for the man, okay? Show respect for him. That's the number one pull that men get triggered by, is just not having respect from their wives. So we really do want to be sensitive to that. But if you understand in your mind, if you think this is just not okay, I'm not comfortable with this, it's really making me feel kind of scared and nauseous, you really should be able to talk to your husband about that. And you can do it in a way, though, that's not threatening to him at all, that he doesn't feel attacked, that he doesn't feel personally slighted by you in any way. So rather than go to everyone else first, and rather than talking to your friends and all of that stuff, at least try, the two shall be one, at least try to go to your husband and talk to him about these things. Say, hey, you know, when this happened a couple days back, yes. Okay, so when this happened, can I talk to you about that? And he would maybe say yes. Maybe he will say no. If he says no, respect that. And say, okay, we'll talk about it another time. It's okay. Or maybe we'll talk about it never. It's a serious thing to relearn how to not be overly aggressive or overly assertive. You're in the zone with your kids all day long. I remember when my kids were, five down to two. I had three kids in 3.5 years. So they were all over the table and we would have our dinner time. And sometimes Brett would be home for dinner and sometimes he wouldn't be. I mean, Athey Creek was just getting going. So he would be gone often with family meetings or counseling meetings. He would be gone a lot. So on the times when he was home, it was so neat to have dinner and have that for him. But I remember because I was so used to just feeding the kids and serving them up food, I was like, okay, dish number one, dish number two, dish number three. And I got to Brett and I put his food on his dish. And he was like, hey, I am not one of those kids. Like I am perfectly fine. I can do my own food. And so, and I didn't even think about it. And so there was no malice in my heart. I was not trying to show disrespect, but because he gave me that cue, I knew that if I continued to do that, it would be disrespectful. And that's just him. Maybe other husbands are fine with that. But my husband was not fine with that. So you need to love your husband, whoever he is, okay? Funny, we're all human, but we're called to love and to respect. We make a vow to do that. And it's gonna be hard sometimes to navigate that, but try. So let's just say he's in the never category. I never wanna talk about this again. Now what you're gonna have to do is talk to him and say, would it be okay with you if I actually got some biblical counsel about this? Because I really want to navigate this through. He might say yes, because maybe he's like, I just don't wanna think about it. So you know what, take the pressure off. Take the pressure off. And then feel free to go talk to Judy Slaughter in the women's counseling and she'll get you where you need to be, or the pastoral staff can also get you where you need to be. If there's an anger issue and there actually is a problem, then what you do need to do is pick up the child, physically remove the child from the room and say, mommy says stay in your room, and that child stays there. And then you and your husband might have to have a talk at that moment because maybe he's unaware of what's going on. So you need to pray. This is where you need to be walking in the spirit. It's very, very important. And what that looks like often, if there's a gasket that's being blown, you're literally praying at that moment. You're praying for your husband. You're praying for you. You're praying for your family. Lord, hold us together. Stop these fiery darts. Get us to a place of calm. Get us to a place of peace. And the Lord might prompt you to walk out of the room. And that's okay. Because those are the things you need to do in order to diffuse. Because what you don't wanna do is get in there and amp everything up. You know in my flesh, I have a tendency to do that. I am Debbie Amp Metter. I mean, I can do amping like you. I was a cheerleader. I know how to amp it, okay? Amp is my game, okay? It's a bad thing. I know that that's one of those things that if I am too hard on myself about it, because thank God I have God's grace, but I know if I'm doing not so well, if I'm in kind of in the mood to just, you know, that's not good. That's not good. And it's not gonna model the behavior I want my kids to do. So there's a lot of dying to self. There's, if I'm in actually walking in the ways of the Lord, I'm gonna be a different person, hopefully, but it's gonna mean a lot of me died along the process, all right? I'm very tenderized, let's say that. There's a lot of holes in me. I'm very tenderized from dying to myself. We all should have that to some degree. There should be those things that we're saying, nope, I am not gonna have that part of me show up in this. I'm gonna allow the Holy Spirit to direct on this. So does that make sense in terms of any anger issues? I wanna make sure that we prioritize, we know this, because as a church, that is so super important. You keep your kids safe, numero uno, you keep your kids safe, you keep yourself safe. So if we're past the boundary of like, not just a, oh, he kind of has a raised voice. No. I mean, if we're way over in the red zone, that's a whole different action. That's a SOS, get yourself to safety, get your child to safety. But I'm not really talking about that. Let's move over to the middle where we have conversations where the woman says, and you want to ask yourself, what's an example of him getting angry? So this is one that Judy referred to me on. So the example is the dad's reading the newspaper after work, and this is when the newspapers were a thing. So maybe the dad's watching the news or something, and the mom's cooking dinner. And the mom says to the child, who's about 5 or 6, pick up your Legos. and there's no response. And then a few minutes goes by, pick up your Legos. 5 minutes or so, no Legos. No picking up Legos. Now, I want to stop. In our home, it was one time. That was the rule. Pick up your Legos. If I have to say it again, it's not pick up your Legos. It's go to your room. Okay? That's what was working good for me. I had three very young kids. We had no time for five or six times. It was too exhausting for me. I wanted my kids to be in shape for when Brett got home, stuff like that. You might be a parent who's okay with the three or four times. But the point of this story that I'm gonna read is that very obviously the husband and wife were not in sync. So let's listen. So the mom says, pick up the Legos. And 5 minutes later, no response. Again, pick up the Legos. So now we're talking maybe 20 minutes, right? When suddenly the dad says, hey, and he picks up the child. Your mother should not have to ask you three times, and takes the child. And the mom called to say that that was abusive. Okay. We have a definition of terms problem. Because you gotta not, first of all, blame it on the husband. The wife needs to take responsibility because she was too slack. And also the wife needs to take responsibility because the husband and the wife need to talk about what are the actual parameters. What does it look like to have good balanced behavior in the home? And then you two need to stick to it. So you should never be out of sync like that as a husband and a wife. Because what that looks like later is not just Legos. It looks like the kid driving a car, okay? It just gets amped up bigger and more money and more damage. That's what it looks like in 15 years from this, okay? You've got to be on the same page, and it takes work. It takes work. So ask your husband, even tonight, go home and say, hey, is there a time in the next week or so that we could kind of just, no pressure, but can we review some of our what we're doing? Because we need to make sure. I don't want you to ever be in a position where you would feel frustrated, and I don't want to feel frustrated. So can we meet in the middle? You know, in Isaiah, it says, come, let us reason. Though our sins be like scarlet, you will be made white as snow. So you approach your relationship with the fact that you're both saved by grace. You're walking through life. You're white as snow to the Lord. It's not that you're not going to sin. We all know we're sinners, okay? But you need to communicate. It's so crucial to your relationship. So there's a huge difference between the man's style in this scenario that I said to you and the woman's, all right? The man was not necessarily abusive at all. The man is cut and dry. I know a lot of our listening audience and a lot of our attendees come from Slavic, Ukrainian, Russian background, and you know rigid. Romanians, Ukrainians, you know rigidity. You know what that looks like. And you know there's zero margin of error. Also, our Korean friends, that they have grown up in extreme, rigid, very authoritarian parenting backgrounds. So when you hear this story, you think, this is not a big deal. But see, when you've had two or three or four or five generations in America and you get a little sloppy, this starts looking like abuse, you know? And that's not the truth. And we need to always get to the truth. The truth is, are we going to indict the man just for having a personality difference? No. That's ridiculous. So we have to get to that and make sure that the mom knows that she's the one that was required to act on things with that child. And it wasn't the dad. So the mom said to the dad, well, he was possibly getting a cold. So that's gentle parenting, okay? That's where that goes. Oh, he's getting a cold. There's only an excuse for the behavior. You need to be on the same page. Even if your personalities are very, very different, be on the same page. The truth is, the freedom in understanding that you're designed to be different than your husband is, that's your ticket to freedom. It's just your ticket to freedom. I'm just going to tell you that. If you quit putting pressure on your husband to be like you, then you're free. Because there's only one you. Literally, God only made one you. And he only made one of your husband. you know, and you're not going to be exactly the light. Same as our fingerprints, all of that stuff that we, you know, you learn as a little kid when you're just little, how different we are. So why would we think that we can be different when we make our little finger animals with our fingerprints, right? Well, we're different and everything's different. And then you get married to your husband and you're like, but we're supposed to be exactly the same. No, we're not. We're supposed to complement each other, which means we're going to be different. His strengths are going to come in when I have a lot of weaknesses. And my strengths are going to come in hot when he's got a lot of weaknesses. And we both have weaknesses. Brett and I both have weaknesses. We have a lot of strengths. Together, it's a winning combo. And that's how you need to look at your marriage and look at yourselves as a united front with your kids so that they don't wiggle away, because they will, they will. They'll do the whole thing where they ask you a question and then they go and they don't get the answer they want. So then they reinvent how to say it in a maybe slightly different way to the other parent. So maybe someone asks me and then they would go and ask daddy. He learned, what did your mom say? Because then that would make the kids U-turn and come back to me with the same answer. See, Brett and I had to learn too. Oh my goodness, we have to be on the same page. So again, if they would ask daddy, could I do this? And the answer was no, they would come and ask me and I would say, well, what did your dad say? And that got the U-turn to go back to daddy. So we could figure it out. It actually became a fun thing in that season that you guys are in right now. It was actually pretty fun to watch how our kids could strategize and they were cute and they weren't doing anything that was really disrespectful. They were just trying to get what they wanted, you know? But little sinners, we're all little sinners. We want to pull our own way. So if no means no in your house and you've decided that no's going to mean no and there's no wiggle room on that, then make no be no. And don't apologize for it. Just don't. So as a rule, in general, just so that you guys are not shocked if you ever call into the office and you're thinking your husband's abusive because he picked up the child and moved him and did what you actually asked the child to do. Oh my goodness, I hope that we're learning. You know, dads can be more abrupt and they can be even harsh sounding sometimes. And they're very clear and most of the time they're very concise, which is why sometimes you maybe were told, I love you, maybe 2 weeks ago. And you're like, well, he doesn't love me anymore. No, he's just concise. Fits it in about once a week. You know, you gotta know your guy. Brett knows that it's a requirement by my heart that I need to be told that every day. So thankfully I'm told that every day because he knows I'm pretty codependent. Thank you, Brett. But we're working through it. We're working through it. But you know what? If I miss a day, do I go through withdrawals? And do I go, I'm going to die without being told that? I'm going to die. Well, in my early married days, I thought maybe I would. But I have learned. I have learned. As we get through this third decade of being married, I think, oh my goodness, I'm thankful that I'm not where I was 3 weeks in to being married when the first day he had to go back to work or whatever, where I thought I was going to die. You know, I mean, wow, what a mess. Oh my goodness. So let's not model that to our kids. Right? Let's let our husbands be who they are, you know? Let them grow up and be who they are. If you have little boys, let them copy daddy. Let them copy daddy. And I don't want to hear any stories about it. So Joey and Brett, I'll just give you an example of this because we're getting ready to turn into the junior high years. There is a massive need for boys to connect with their dads. It is a huge need. You know, we had different friends going to different. Melinda was living in China and Tad and Marna were living in Vanuatu. Clearly those families had a way for their, when you move to a whole different country, the connection with the family can get really, really close. Doesn't mean it's easy, but there was not a whole lot of youth group options. You know what I'm saying? In terms of Vanuatu, you know, did they have any, you know, options for kids? Not too much, not too much. The option was pretty much hang out with my brother, hang out with my dad, you know? In our life, as you guys all know, there are a lot of options for kids. So even in sports and things like that, if kids are on buses, kids have phones, there's so many things. I would highly suggest if you have your kids involved in all that stuff, become a chaperone and be on those buses and get yourself in there. Do all the background tests or whatever you got to do so that you can get your face in the faces of those kids. And you are the blockade for some of that stuff. And then problem solved, no big deal. There's great networks of parents who are doing that, and it's possible. So in our case, so Brett grew up with a motorcycle dad and a race car dad and fast engines dad, okay? So engineering, mechanics, all that stuff. Todd is just a brilliant man. He's a brilliant mind. And so motocross was going to be in my life, whether I knew it or not, which I didn't think it was going to be my life, but it became a part of my life. And so I had to really, that, and still, that's a part of my life that I have to say, Lord, you're the one that knows the beginning and the end of all this stuff. I literally was raised that do not associate with anyone on motorcycles. That's how I was raised. I was raised, motorcycles are evil, they're horrible. And I think where that was stemming from was my mom saw literally people die from motorcycles. And there was a lot of like gang activity associated with motorcycles at that time. Down in the Rogue Valley, there was tons of that stuff. So, you know, the general rule was people with motorcycles are bad guys. Now, is that true? No, it is not true. But I had to rewire that in my mind when I'm looking at a motocross bike, thinking, oh, wow, okay, this family is saved, and yet they are riding motorcycles. So there's something in here that I'm not, I need to work through this. Okay. So it was cute because, you know, grandma and grandpa, which I'm not saying this for my own benefit, because Beau, you know, he's so cute. I am going to ask Joey and Kenzie, is it okay if we do this and this first? But they already know because Joey lived it. It's okay if there's stitches involved because it's all for fun, right? So grandma and grandpa got a little motorcycle and it was so cute to watch Grandpa Todd. He literally taught Joey so well. He would hold on to the little motocross bike and just onto the back so that Joey would not fall off. And he would say, brake, gas, brake, gas, brake, gas. And he and Joey was learning how to do that at a young age, which was amazing because Joey, you know, any kids that you guys have in your family, anybody who's very tactile, they need to have that. They need to understand and it develops their brain and there's all kinds of stuff. The thing is there's physics. So once in a while, we would have what I came to call field trips. Field trips are something that happen when you get to be put inside an ambulance and you get to be taken to the hospital, maybe more than once, maybe three or four times, maybe just ask Joey. So it's okay. So it all worked out. It's all fine. But I'm just saying, even with all that, there was an emergency room for his head. His head swelled up to be the size of a cantaloupe. He was like three. That was terrible. Then there was one time when a motorcycle peg went through his hand. That was also horrible, but it worked out. As you can tell, he still plays the guitar. There was the time where they thought he broke his back, but he didn't. There was the time when he didn't go to the emergency room, but he did break his, I think, collarbone, maybe something else. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying lay yourself down on the altar because you're gonna die, okay? You're gonna have to die. It doesn't feel very good. But all along the way, what I knew was happening was Joey was making big connections with younger men and older men in our church that were also riding with Brett. And yes, they were breaking bones too, which is pretty much why they don't do the group anymore. But the bottom line is, my Joey, who didn't want to be in these big groups, you know, there was just kind of cruddy stuff happening and just really sketchy things that were going on. And the school district was not implementing strategy of good behavior. And so this was a great outlet for him. You know, it was an amazing outlet. It was weekly, pretty much every week through the season that they did it. And there were trustworthy people who they all could talk in a way that was healthy and building up of their own character and their own person. You know, that's what you want for your family. You know, in the same way that we shouldn't have women apologize for being women, you know, and trying to figure out what our emotions are and all that stuff and how to, you know, what does it really mean to take our thoughts captive? You're going to have to do all that kind of stuff too with your girls, you know, and maybe your girls like motocross. We had Casey on the bike sometimes and she kind of liked it and I only went around in circles, but you know, it was fine. Brooke didn't have a real liking for that. You know, we just did what we did. You know, we had girls and we had boys, you know? So free up your husband to live out the model in your family the way that he feels called by God. See, don't micromanage your husband because that is just going to make it so that, oh my goodness, there's resentment and there can be just a buildup. the anger situation that you can oftentimes perceive, it's probably not actual anger so much as maybe being built in out of just real frustration of him not actually knowing how to properly communicate with you, how stuck he feels, you know? And it's a very real thing. And we really need to free our guys up so that they can be the men that God's called them to be. If we keep on smashing them down all the time, that doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything for your family. And it really doesn't help your husband thrive. And then therefore, what are you teaching to your son? You know? So we're challenged in this whole cycle of how to break through some of those things that God would have him, his presence in your life to bust through those barriers. And then you're setting through new territory. Remember, they that hold firm, right? They'll hold fast. They will be saved. And it's not just from hell. It's so much more. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. But we have to embrace it, you know? And so I wanted to encourage you in that way this evening. And then I want to offer you a lot more time in your circles tonight, because there, I know, are going to be questions, and there have been questions. And I want to allow more than 3 minutes, you know, for you in your circle. There's just not even enough time. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to break. And then as a rule, we're going to really try at 8:45 to exit. That's going to be our rule. Okay. So that's our boundary. I just had a happy chat. I fed you cookies. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much that you do give us such freedom, Lord, in boundaries and just in love, Lord. You want our love for each other to get more and more. And so we just pray that there would be a work this evening with the women in the circles. And I pray that your word, that you promise to show up, but I pray your word would just be settled in each heart, Lord, that the soil would be well prepared and that there would be much fruit. So we lift up these families to you now, and we lift up this time and pray you'd be honored and glorified. And thank you so much for our time. In Jesus' name, amen.